Let's find out what's happening with the rural news. Maya Burry is with us. You're at the National Agricultural Field Days in Hamilton. What's going on there, Maya?
Morena, Guy, and well, despite it not being 6:30 yet, there actually is already country music playing out over the speakers at Field Days this morning. Not a genre I'm actually an expert on, though, sorry, so I couldn't tell you what song.
A line dancing for breakfast, yeah. There, right, wouldn't it?
Really setting the mood for Friday morning for sure. This is usually the busiest day of the four-day event, so well over 30,000 people expected. Organisers are busy gearing up for that. Last night, Field Days did host its annual Innovation Awards, and these are focused on ideas tackling some of the primary industry's biggest challenges. Winners included a company that's developed a scalable vertical farming system, and another which is using AI to help wine growers be more productive. One of the 65 entries for the awards was a robotic asparagus harvester that's been developed at the University of Waikato. And team leader and senior lecturer, Dr. Hin Lim, says a camera on the robot detects if a spear is tall enough to harvest, and then if it is, a robotic arm rather cuts it. Dr. Lim says the robot solves the issue of labour shortages as well as the back-breaking work it takes to manually harvest asparagus. He says they've done two field trials of the harvester, which is a prototype at the moment, but he says there's huge potential.
So at the moment, it's still working at a human speed. So it's a tractor drone at the moment. And then pretty much we're saying that we can kind of replace one human. But then down the track, if it's everything working fine, then it can go to 3 to 4.
And Dr. Lim says the asparagus industry in New Zealand is small at the moment, but with the help of robots, it could grow.
With the quality of the spears that they're getting, there's a lot of export potentials that's going out there, but they're not able to do that well anymore, mainly because of the COVID-19 and everything, and also the labour shortage.
And Dr. Lim says there's already talk of this prototype being used for other produce like rock melon or broccoli.
And Canterbury farmers, they're still cleaning up after the floods. Hawke's Bay farmers coming to the rescue a little bit there. And what are they being asked to do in terms of helping out?
Yeah, well, they're actually being asked to make financial donations rather than supplying feed and sending it down to Canterbury farmers. There was a call earlier on for Hawke's Bay farmers to donate feed to help Canterbury farmers with the floods. But, look, the Hawke's Bay Rural Advisory Group, it said it's met with its Canterbury counterpart to find out how to best support the recovery. Group Chair Lockie McGillivray says donating feed doesn't make much sense at the moment as it's logistically hard and expensive.
They're still working out what the situation is in terms of what their needs really are. And I understand the emotion and wanting to help straight away. But this is a long haul for those Canterbury farmers who have suffered the floods.
And along with the flooding in Canterbury, large parts of the country's east coast have actually been hit with drought conditions this autumn. Lockie McGillivray says the Hawke's Bay area is actually still really dry, so if there's extra feed in the region, it can be used locally.
We've got moisture deficits here that we haven't seen before. We're getting beautiful mild days. It must be 20 degrees at the moment, but we're just teetering. Our feed allocation team are telling us that their farmers are in need of feed locally. So sending it down to Canterbury doesn't really make sense at this stage.
That's Lockie McGillivray from the Hawke's Bay Rural Advisory Group, and that wraps up the rural news for this morning.